In this 71st episode of the Misal Podcast, you will listen to my conversation with Asfar Anjum, CEO of cPrinto, a print-on-demand platform that lets you design, customize, and sell your art products. Let's listen. Welcome, Asfar, to the Misal Podcast. How are you?
I'm fine. What about you?
I'm doing excellent. Well, thank you for reaching out and thank you for joining me today. Really excited to have you on and learn more about what you're building. Let's get started with a quick introduction. Please tell me a little bit about yourself and what is the problem that you're trying to solve with cPrinto?
My name is Asfar. Basically, I'm the founder and CEO of cPrinto, which is Pakistan's first print-on-demand dropshipping company. So what we do at cPrinto is we are basically providing a one-stop solution for people to launch their own e-commerce stores with minimum investment. So print-on-demand dropshipping is basically a model where you can sell customized products to your customers without even buying inventory or without stocking those products at your own warehouse and investing a lot of money in those products. And that's what we do here. Our website is www.cprinto.com. This is where people come in. They create their accounts, they upload their own designs, and they basically launch their own e-commerce brand through us, where we manage everything from printing, manufacturing, delivery, returns, refunds, each and everything.
What made you identify this as a problem in the market?
Basically, there is a very nice story behind it. In 2018, where I used to provide e-commerce services to international clients through Fiverr, Upwork, because I have a really good profile there. What I saw by providing these services is print-on-demand dropshipping is already very famous internationally in other countries, and there are good companies in USA, UK who are providing good services, but people who are in Pakistan, and if they want to get into this particular business model and wants to start their own brand in Pakistan, there is not a single POD dropshipping company working in Pakistan for these people. So if they go and try to use the international companies, it's not possible for them to use them because they will have to pay the amount in USD, and they will have to wait 10 to 15 days for the parcel to arrive because their warehouses are in USA and UK and they don't have a single warehouse in Pakistan. So I saw a huge market gap in Pakistan. That's why I was the one who had a lot of experience in this field. So I decided to create my own POD company in Pakistan, so that people in Pakistan can launch their own e-commerce stores as well through POD dropshipping.
Can you talk a little bit more about like how does the seller side work, first of all, in terms of like how does one start, like, you know, uploading design work? What does it take? How long does it take? How do you handle payments?
I would like to conclude the whole process of a seller in three steps. The first step for a seller is to create their own designs, whether they can hire a designer or if they have the skills of designing, they can design it themselves. Because design is the main thing in this business. If your design is good, then your product will sell well. Then second step is to go to our website, create an account, and start uploading those designs on products, generate mockups, and then list those items to their own e-commerce stores or own social media channels. The third step is whenever you get an order, you just need to forward that order to cPrinto. And our company handles each and everything from printing, manufacturing, delivery, returns, refunds, each and everything for your customer on your behalf, so that you can focus on creating the designs and you can focus on doing the marketing of your brand rather than worrying about this logistics and fulfillment stuff. That's the three steps process of a seller, by which he can start working with us and start their own e-commerce store.
How does the shipping, the payment, and how does all that work out? Like, how do you collect those payments? How long does it take for the seller to get the payments? And how do you deal with the refunds?
In this model, the seller who is working with us takes the payment directly from his customer to his own bank account. So, for example, if you are trying to sell a t-shirt which is of 800 rupees on our website and you sold it for 1500 rupees, then you will take the 1500 directly from your customer to your own bank account. Once that money arrives, you need to visit our website. There is a payment gateway on our website. You need to pay us the original amount of the order, which is 800 rupees. And the rest of the money is directly your profit. So you don't need to wait for us to send you the profit. You are basically getting the money first and then paying us the original amount. But there is a second scenario as well where orders are of cash on delivery. So if your order is of COD, then what we do is we take the payment in advance from you, for example, 800 rupees from you. And then we collect COD from your customer on your behalf. And then we send that money to you after 10 to 12 days to your bank account directly. So on our website, there is a payouts section as well where people enter their bank account details and then we send the money to them after 10 to 12 days.
So how many sellers would you say are on your platform currently using your services?
We have 15,000 registered users and amongst them, 8,000 are integrations. Those people who have integrated their e-commerce stores with our website.
Is it that you provide the whole experience or is this something that one has to get on top of like Shopify or WooCommerce?
First of all, if you are trying to create your own e-commerce website, you will have to create a website on Shopify or WooCommerce yourself. And then you can install our app on your e-commerce store. What that app does is whenever you will receive an order, that app would automatically fetch the details of your customer, the order details, and they will forward it to our system so that you don't have to manually call Cprinto and tell, hey, I have got 8 orders today and here are the details and stuff like that. So this process is basically called integration according to us. So that's what people are doing. Amongst 8,000, around 4,500 are Shopify integrations. And the rest of them are WordPress WooCommerce integrations.
So how do you deal with the suppliers for the t-shirts? Like, of course, you have to go and, you know, find suppliers to make those t-shirts and stuff. So how does that end of the equation work out for you?
We have basically partnered with few factories who make the garments. And then we have a printer. What we do is whenever there is an order, that factory owner ships that product to our office, we print the design on that particular product. And then we pack it and then we do the quality checking and then we ship it to the courier company. So this is how the whole model is working with the help of few partnerships. That's how we are able to achieve this solution.
Or how are you able to pick the partners? Is this there's some sort of a quality control process where you select few partners, you see how they perform, you select certain partners, and then you see what kind of product they deliver, and then you go on with them? Or does the seller have an option to pick a certain kind of supplier that you might provide them?
Currently, we are only working with one supplier. It's a huge garment factory. So currently, we don't allow our sellers to choose the supplier because we are not that big yet where we have listed tons of suppliers, because managing suppliers and making sure their quality is good, it's a huge process where you need a very big team. So currently we have one supplier. We make sure that supplier provides the product in good quality. We have a quality checking team in the office. And then we just currently all of the products you see on Cprinto are provided by that particular supplier. We handle the printing, he gives the product, and that's how we are working. But in future, we have plans of opening registrations for people to apply for suppliers as well, but currently we don't offer that.
I also want to talk a little bit about the buyer side. So when it comes to the end user that's making the purchase for these products, how do you make sure, or is there a way to make sure that the customer is also satisfied? Because it really depends, right? Like if the customer isn't satisfied, then your seller is not going to be satisfied, and then your seller is going to move on to someone else, right? Or try to do it themselves. So how do you take care of that end of the equation?
Most of the communication with the customer is done by the seller because this is his or her brand. So we don't directly talk to their customer. Our communication is with the seller. So whenever we receive an order for their customer, we make sure the quality is good. We make sure that we deliver it on time. But the end communication is on that particular seller because he is talking with the customer. On our end, what we do is we never mention our company brand name on the packaging or invoice. We mention the name of that particular seller who sold the product so that his customer can never identify that this product is coming from cPrinto. And he always gets to know that this brand has sold this product. So that's how we are helping these brands, these small brands, to create their own store and build a brand and maintain returning customers.
I also now want to talk a little bit about, your team. How big is your team? Like, what kind of tech are you using? Like, are you doing this all by yourself? Is there a team that's developing the website? There's a team that's marketing your services. How does that all work out for you?
We have a small team of 10 people. So amongst them, there is a support team of 4 people, and we have 2 developers and me, and there is the quality control team. So we are a very small team, but we created all these things, the software, the app, the manufacturing logistics system ourselves. It took us a lot of time to figure out these things and to create such a complex system where we need to take care of the technology part of the business as well, and then we need to take care of the logistics and manufacturing as well. So, it was a nice experience because I had the experience of working with international POD companies for the past 6 years. So that's why it was not very much difficult for me to get into this business, because I was already familiar with it. I think 2018, I wrote a book on POD dropshipping as well. That's also available on our website. So I was someone who already had a lot of in-depth knowledge regarding this system, and that knowledge came from creating more than 300 POD dropshipping stores for international clients. And that's why I got to experience the different POD companies. I knew what are the disadvantages and advantages of using which particular POD company. So I basically studied the Pakistani and Asian market, and then I launched this company based on these people, because the requirements of these people, Pakistani market is very different from international market. If you will take a look at international companies, they don't even offer COD. And in Pakistan, as you know, most of the orders goes through COD. So this is one of the examples that we modified the system according to these people. So that's why I don't even consider these international companies as my competitor, because in Pakistan, they don't have any warehouse. Using them is not even feasible here.
You mentioned that you were a freelancer and you're doing a lot of freelance stuff, and then you transition into doing your own thing. A lot of people, or a lot of freelancers, rather, I should say, they don't make that kind of leap. They are freelancing and then they keep freelancing, and yeah, that's what they do. You took a leap, you took a risk, and you started something that you identified a gap in the market, and you started something on your own. How was that like? Like, you know, what made you? I mean, I guess you were confident enough that you understood the market, so that's why you took the leap. But tell me a little bit more about that, like, whole, you know, journey from going from a freelancer to like starting your own business.
I think freelancing was just a starting step for me. I never considered it my end goal, because I believe freelancing is something which is now everyone is doing. It's like you are just providing a service, but now I own the brand. So in my case, there is no Fiverr team who can just kick me out one day after few years, or Upwork team who can just ban my accounting within seconds and I am nowhere. So this is something I own. I created it myself. So people needs to understand the difference of providing a service on a platform with comparison to owning the platform. So creating an innovative platform for others to register and sell is a very big thing according to me, rather than providing a service on Fiverr or Upwork. And I do recommend each and every freelancer as well, if they are providing services, they can provide services on one hand, but on the other hand, they should try to create something of their own, something which provides value or solve problems of the users.
You know, you went from being a freelancer to building your own business. You must have faced a lot of challenges while doing that. What were some of the challenges? What was the biggest challenge you faced to transition before you transitioned from a freelancer to a business owner?
I think there is a long, long list of challenges every startup founder face when they start their own company. My challenges, if I would mention few of the main obstacles we faced, then I would like to mention that the manufacturing part, first of all, in the beginning, none of the big suppliers or even small suppliers were interested in getting them listed on our website, because they were like, hey, this doesn't have that much potential. But when we showed them, hey, as you can see, our videos are going viral and we have got a lot of users on the website, then they started coming in. So bringing them together and then bringing the printing supplier together was not an easy task at all for people like us. Don't have a lot of investment to buy the whole manufacturing plant and stuff like that. So I think that was the main obstacle. Secondly, modifying this POD system, which is already internationally popular, modifying it according to the Asian market was a very hard task, because we were confused how we would offer COD to our customers, because these are custom printed items, and if a product got returned, we can't do anything about it. That's the reason why international companies don't offer COD. But in Pakistan, if you want to build a company, you will have to offer COD. So we figure out these kind of solutions where we take advice from the resellers and then we offer COD on their behalf and then we send them the payment. So somehow, after lots of research and experiences, we figured out a way to provide this solution to these particular people who lives here.
So when you were building, cPrinto, you are still, of course, in the process of like scaling it. What was something that you identified right away that you had, like, you maybe went in with a different set of, ideas about something, and then you realized that's not how it works?
In the beginning, since I was a freelancer who used to work with international clients, in the beginning, I used to think like international people. So when we initially started, our marketing was very formal, and our whole approach was very formal, and it was similar to international companies. But then we realized, in order to work here, you will have to get to the ground and speak to people in their own language, and then try to teach them what is POD dropshipping, because there is a very much lack of awareness in this region regarding this POD dropshipping model. So our goal was to spread the awareness. And once we teach people how to do this, then automatically when they will do some research and try to find a company who can help them build POD dropshipping business, they will automatically come back to us. So that technique, I think, worked. And when we started teaching people how they can do it themselves, and we started giving them insights on which niche they should go with, how this model works, then automatically they became our students, and then from students they became our customers. So I think that technique worked for us. On Instagram, few of our videos got viral and they got a lot of good feedback, and that's when the journey started and the people started coming in, and then the whole process is in front of you. The website is there. We, on a daily basis, we are in communication with those people who came. We have a Discord community as well, where we discuss ideas. We are very much in communication with those early adopters who came to our platform. We modified our system based on their comments and experiences. And I think that's very important for any startup founder to get to know their customers and see what they want, what are the complaints they have, and what are the suggestions they have in their own minds. So I think that's the key point.
It looks like that you did a lot of social media marketing, plus you have a community on Discord where you engage with them. Is there anything else that you do to attract more sellers on your platform? Do you have an outreach or salesperson?
We don't do that kind of sales by calling people and that kind of stuff. As I said, our main marketing is focused on spreading the awareness. So what we do is we upload lectures, we upload courses, we upload Instagram reels, teaching people what is print on demand and how they can get started with it and how they can make revenue from it and what kind of designs they can do, how it's feasible for people sitting in home, how it's feasible for students, businessmen, or housewives who are sitting at their home and they want to start their own clothing store and stuff like that. So that kind of marketing is what we do. We have a marketing small team who create these content and they upload it to social media, and we run some ads as well.
I know that you haven't raised any money, but do you have any plans to raise money in the future, or are you just going to bootstrap?
Currently, we don't have any plan to raise money because our thinking is first we should help these people who have already registered with us. Our goal is to make them successful somehow, work with them closely and provide them good service. And then in future, maybe we can go towards raising money as well. By the way, I would like to mention that initially when we started, government funded us as well. We were a part of NEP and IC incubator in Karachi. So that's where we got started, and that was our starting point. And then we created our own office here. So yeah, we got some funding, but it was not like raising money or investment.
So did you say you were part of NIC Karachi?
Yes.
Okay. At this time, it looks like that you are only selling apparel, like t-shirts and like other things related to clothing. Is there anything else that you plan on adding in the future? Like, you know, mugs or something else?
Even currently, if you will go to the website, we have some other products as well. For example, wall arts, which you can mount on your walls. Most of the items are related to clothing, but in future we will start integrating other suppliers of products, then there will be a whole lot more products available on the website. But for now, we are just trying to stick to our plan, offer less products but quality products, offer less options but make sure these options are valuable for the customers and they are working fine. So that's, I think, the right approach rather than just filling the website with too many products and then impossible to make sure the quality is good and impossible to manage for a team of these 10 people.
Do you have any plans for the next like 5-10 years that you can share right now?
Our main plan is that we are already in communication with an international POD company who is interested in coming to Pakistan and doing a collaboration with us. I think if we have a collaboration with them, then we will be able to bring these sellers who are already registered on our platform to international markets, because they will list our company in their suppliers section, which is a very famous company, but I would not like to mention the name of that company yet because it's not official. So once that is done, we will be able to export these products who are made in Pakistan, and these clothing brands who are working in Pakistan, they will be able to export these products to different countries with less shipping rates. And then I think that would be a turning point for cPrinto as well.
Well, this has been really great learning about cPrinto and learning about your journey from a freelancer to, you know, business owner. It's been really wonderful. Thank you again for being on the Misal podcast.
No problem at all. Thanks for inviting me. I think I really enjoyed talking with you as well, and you are doing a great job.
Thank you so much.